The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to read from the book of Acts, from chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. On the morrow, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power and by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is a stone which was rejected by your builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This text for this morning follows the reading for last week, where Peter and John have healed a lame man in the temple. And there is astonishment and amazement here. There is still astonishment and amazement, but the church leaders are upset. They have been upstaged. Nobody has do this without their permission. And so they are not happy being upstaged. So they arrest and bring people, James and Peter, or John and Peter, and others in, and they're questioning them. And that question is the common question. What, by what name, by what authority are you doing this? And Peter, being moved by the Spirit, launches. He said, "Of course, it's the name of Jesus." And he preaches a little bit of a sermon, and a few verses after this, they are set free. But the stage is set for their execution. They will follow the way of Jesus because that's a dangerous thing that they have done. Scholars tell us that naming is a common thing in the Near East. Any of us who have can remember our Sunday school lessons remember the changing of the names of Sarai and Abram to Sarah and Abraham. And it's not just that they're derivative names, it's a change in meaning. Jacob's name is changed by God after wrestling. The meaning of his name is changed after wrestling at the Jabbok River, where Jacob's hip is put out of joint. His name had been Trickster. His name will be Israel. The thing about names is important. Everyone in this room knows something about being named and naming. I think I've told this story, but it bears repeating. I'm assuming most of you know that my legal name is Joey. It's not Joseph. It's not anything else. Joey is my legal name. My mom, I don't think my dad chose this. Both my grandfathers were named Joseph, and my mom boy or girl, it was going to be Joey. And I was okay with this until I was in, I think, about the fifth grade, and Joey Bishop had a comedy show on. He's a now deceased comic. He was part of that original Rat Pack with Sinatra and all those guys. Anyways, it had a theme song, and the girls would stand around and sing it to me. Now, I was too stupid to know that they were flirting with me, but eventually I got that. So I changed my name to Joe for a couple of years anyways. So you know something about names. Your mother may have had a special pet name for you. Mine did. No, I'm not going to utter it here. That's another illustration. But I know that moms do this. I thought it was particularly touching that I read in the paper this morning after Matt Kemp's walk-off home run. He didn't go to anybody else but his mama and reached out and touched her hand behind the screen. That's the power of names. It has that kind of feeling for us. So Peter knew what that name meant, knew what it meant to follow Jesus, knew the power of his name. I will tell you, I've said this before as well, but I have this background in training and education, and I am authorized to be a United Methodist pastor. I'm authorized. Literally, the bishop, when I was ordained, put his hand on me and said, "Take thou authority." He didn't say anything about power. The power comes from learning to follow Jesus. And the more we follow Jesus rather than our own hearts and our own egos, the better off we are. To this thing on names, one of my high scholarly sources is Real Life Adventures, right out of the funny pages. Wise and Aldrich. A man is sitting at his laptop, and he's saying, "I don't know about buying things online. It's kind of unnerving to send money to a guy named Ratso99. And his wife, wisely as she is, says, "Well, no doubt he's a little squeamish about receiving a check from Crazy Ed." It's the reality of our lives. I say the name Jimmy Dean, and some of you think about Tasty pork products. The first thing that comes to my mind when I think of Jimmy Dean is the iconic song. He wrote many songs, but he was known for Big John. You know that? Big John. Big Bad John. And he said he wrote it in like 20 minutes on a plane ride because he was afraid and he needed something to do. And it was the number one single of his entire life. Probably freed him to go into the sausage business. Names mean something to us. Names meant everything to the disciples because following Jesus, the master of the way, meant following God into dangerous territory. So the question of whether it's okay to upstage God ought to be self-evident. God doesn't care. But we care. If we step on somebody's toes, even in accident, we hear. We hear it. We are so vain, and I lead that. Somebody, well, who do they think they are? I'm the pastor. What is that about? What are they doing? The reality is, if you look at the pattern of Jesus' life, he was always, always doing the loving thing, the kind thing, the just thing. That is the claim. But it's hard because we lead with our egos. I think this is from yesterday's paper. It might be the day before. It's out of the calendar. I read the funny pages first, the sports section next, and then the front page of the calendar. And this is an article written by, where is her name? Oh, I had her name and I apologize for not including it. Wonderful writer for the LA Times. Is it the blunt approach, question mark, be real. And it's I'm just going to read a little bit of this blurb. A hostess escorted Emily Blunt. She was a principal actress, not the lead, in The Devil Wears Prada, and I guess she has three or four films coming out right now. But a hostess escorted Emily Blunt to a private room in the commissary on the Universal Pictures lot, where one table had been set for a meal. The actress glanced around the empty, windowless space and asked, "Might we be able to go out into the main dining room? I feel a bit cooped up in here." As a team of handlers scurried to grant her request, one publicist whispered admiringly, "Wow, I've never had a star ask for less privacy. She's so cool, right?" She's 29, and it's about being real for her. It's about understanding who she is and what she is about as an artist and following her instincts. Not everybody is that grounded. We have actors and sports figures who are all about themselves. It's about their multi-million dollar contracts and earnings and the power they have. So it's okay for them to break the law, to punch somebody, to run over people with their cars. All of it's acceptable because it's all about them and all about what they have. Well, Emily Blunt isn't one of those, at least not yet. And I suspect not in the near future. There was an article in yesterday's Times by Bill Plaschke, and I just want to read you a couple of excerpts of it. It's about John Van Den Ront. I hope I've got that right. He's a star student athlete, and in most cases, student athlete with football players is an oxymoron. In this case, it's not. He's a true scholar. He's asked what the deal is, what kind of a deal he has with Nike, and this is his first statement. "My deal is I bought the shirt for $6 and the shorts for $10 at an outlet store. I have no deal with Nike." I like that. John Van Den Ront is not going to the NFL armed with $1 million contract. He's going to a life armed with a valuable degree and an invaluable perspective that 4 years of college sports can bring. "Adversity, sacrifice," this is his quote, "adversity, sacrifice, getting up at 6 a.m. for workouts that I hated, all those things that made me a better person, that made Azusa football worth it," he said. And then two more things. He obviously was not mentioned in the NFL draft. He wasn't talked to. He wasn't interviewed, though he holds any meaningful record at Azusa football. But he didn't break any laws or do anything bad. "This is about getting my degree. Nothing is more valuable than that." Nothing is more valuable than that. And he says in here that he certainly has the physical qualities. He's 6'3" and 210 pounds. So he's in the range. But he says, "I'm on a different path than those other people." And his path is going to lead to, it looks like, some form of ministry. Plaschke won't mention that, but that's what it looks like. And the last thing that Plaschke says, okay, so John Van Den Ront wasn't on national TV Thursday night, and NFL commissioner Roger Goodell did not hug him. So maybe somebody else should. What I want you to think about is that concept of being real that these last two illustrations talk about. We talk about it in terms of keeping it real in rap artists, but they're usually talking about violent acts. Not all of them. There's some very good hip-hop and rap artists out there. But keeping it real in terms of the grounding of knowing in whose name we act. If we say we're going to follow Jesus, then we ought to follow him. And it doesn't mean we're not going to blow it from time to time. Everyone makes mistakes. The call is not perfection, but faithfulness. A few days ago, somebody called me, and I don't have permission to use the name, but This person called and asked me if I would pray for somebody they know and love. And I said, fine, and I took the name down, and I said, do you want me to pray now? And the person said, yeah, on the phone. I was on my cell phone. And I'll tell you, when I started ministry, that would have, well, they didn't have cell phones, but when I started ministry, praying with somebody on the phone would have been a very strange, otherworldly experience for me. It's not now. I do this all the time. But it would have influenced me unduly early on, because I would have forgotten where the power is, and it ain't with me. Power comes from setting aside your fears and just saying, I love God. I trust God to lead me, say what it is I need to say. That's what we're called to do. God doesn't care if we think we can upstage God. And I know that we probably do. Well, somebody will do something this day to irritate us, because that's who we are as human beings. But as spiritual beings on a human journey, we have the ability to step back and reflect, forgive, or ask to be forgiven, and laugh and love. So go forth this day and endeavor to be real. You remember the Velveteen Rabbit? How many of you? I know Bill's read it, and I know probably half of us who are born in the 40s and 50s have read it. You know how it ends? Just as the Velveteen Rabbit becomes real, it's time to exit. We don't need to wait that long. We can be real now. In the name of Jesus, let us be real. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.